Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Would you have a problem with American Christians saying, thank God, thank God? That's what they're saying. Come on. Of course they are Muslims, but they are moderates, and I guarantee you that they are moderates. I know them, and I've been with them. For someone to say Allah Akbar is about as offensive as someone saying thank God.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
It is the Savage Nation. We're going to talk about the barbarian invasion of the West, and the comparison to the Roman Empire when the barbarians broke the empire into East and West. I'm going to start with a paragraph, while you call me at 855-400-7282, on one of the most depressing days in American political history, when we see that we have what I've been predicting exists, a one-party system with two-card Monty. A one-party system playing two-card Monty, with Boehner saying, I'm going to support the president's call for action in Syria, with Pelosi sounding like a lunatic just out of a madhouse, quoting a conversation with her five-year-old grandson to justify a war with Syria, to no opposition whatsoever from the alleged opposition party. Throughout the 3rd century, the Roman Empire, decaying socially and disintegrating morally, faced the barbarians. The emperors of this period were fighting military autocrats, and the capital of the empire shifted with the necessities of their military policy. It was a declining city, Rome was. Over most of the empire, peace still prevailed, and men went about without arms. The armies continued to be the sole repositories of power. The emperors, depending on their legions, became more and more autocratic to the rest of the empire, and their state more and more like that of the Persian and other Oriental monarchs. Diocletian assumed the royal diadem and oriental robes. Does that ring a bell with you, ladies and gentlemen? I'm going to ask you a few questions, but first I have to replay a piece of sound for you. I just read to you the barbarians break the empire into East and West on the Savage Nation. And I read to you about a time when the Roman Empire started to crumble because it was being attacked by the barbarians, when the emperors became more and more autocratic and went to war at the whiff of a challenge to their power. And now I ask you how you feel about clip number one. Please play number one. Thank you very much.
The use of these weapons has to be responded to, and only the United States has the capability and the capacity to stop Assad and to warn others around the world that this type of behavior is not going to be tolerated. I appreciate the President reaching out to me and my colleagues in the Congress over the last couple of weeks. I also appreciate the President asking the Congress to support him in this action.
You know, I really think Boehner is a great statesman when you think about it, because he appreciates that the President actually talked to him. I want you to understand what a great country you have now. You have the leader of the so-called opposition party who appreciates the fact that the President even talked to him and asked his opinion. I think that's wonderful. Look, I can ask you a simple question. You just heard John Boehner giving you Democrat talking points. How do you feel about Boehner mimicking Obama's justifications for war? How do you feel about the fraudulent liberals in your family who are talking about going to war when all their lives they told you you were the warmonger? How do you feel about what you're about to hear next in the Savage Nation, which is something that would be actionable? In other words, in another time, Pelosi would be taken out by men in white coats with straitjackets. I want you to listen to one of the most powerful women in the world in clip three.
I'll tell you this story, and then I really do have to go. My five-year-old grandson, as I was leaving San Francisco yesterday, he said to me, Mimi, my name, Mimi, war with Syria. Are you yes, war with Syria? No, war with Syria. Now, he's 5 years old. And war, he's saying war. I mean, we're not talking about war. We're talking about an action. Mm-hmm. Yes, war with Syria, no war with Syria. I said, well, what do you think? He said, I think no war. I said, well, I generally agree with that, but you know they've killed hundreds of children there.
I wonder how Madame Pelosi felt when her party, her grand old party, the Democrats, killed 72 children, men and women, at Waco, Texas. Remember when the children were gassed at Waco, Texas, by the FBI and the ATF? I wonder how Madame Pelosi felt about her government gassing children at Waco, Texas. Now, of course, they were Christian children, and of course, they were basically white trash Christian children. They weren't of the type that go to the nun churches in San Francisco, which are just show churches, as you know, for the people who live on Pacific Heights. But how do you feel about Nancy Pelosi quoting a conversation with her five-year-old grandson as a justification for going to war? Now, I also told you last week I was slammed for implicating Israel in all of this. I've been called a lot of names by the knee-jerk liberals out there in radio land. And I was called an anti-Semite last week, which is a new one, actually. But I'm used to it because I've been called many other things. But I believe that the actions of today confirmed my suspicion. When I woke up this morning and I saw that Israel and the United States were in joint naval exercises in the Mediterranean, and God forbid it's been taken down already, of course, just when I needed it for my show. Oh, here it is, I told you. On the top right of michaelsavage.com, U.S. and Israel, I told you so. They conducted a missile test as Obama seeks congressional support for a Syria strike. I want to be very clear. I support the nation of Israel. I support Israel's sovereignty. I'll give you the litmus test. But I don't support us being Hessians for any nation, including Israel. I deeply resent Israel dragging us into a Middle Eastern conflagration. I am sick to my stomach to see the Holocaust being used as a justification for killing people with United States bombs. And I will tell you something else on this show. If you think this is going to be a limited strike, if you're going to buy the crap that you're hearing from Hashburger and the others in the media, if you're going to believe one word that Hashburger is telling you, that this is going to be a limited strike, if you believe that Hashburger is right when he dismisses Obama and says that Obama is going to launch a few missiles for a few hours and go away, then you are completely naive. This is going to be much bigger than that. I promise you that Kerry, who is one of the most dangerous men in the history of this government, and I can guarantee you that the four horsewomen of the apocalypse have already planned to send U.S. troops into Syria in order to kill Assad the way they killed Saddam and the way they killed Gaddafi, and to divide Syria and steal the land and make it safe for democracy. I can guarantee you the same mentality that brought down Gaddafi and brought down Mubarak will bring down Assad. They have not learned their lesson. I can guarantee you they don't know what the hell they're doing, but they're extremely dangerous because they're working for forces outside this country, in my opinion. Now, that's a very big opening to the show. I began with the Roman Empire in the 3rd century when the barbarians broke the empire into east and west. I described to you what the Roman Empire was in its capital at that time as it was falling apart. I made a comparison between the collapse of the Roman Empire at that time to the collapse of the American Empire at this time. And then I played you some sound bites. I played you the crazy woman, Pelosi, having the craziness to go up there and say that her conversation with a five-year-old grandson is what she needs to justify bombing. This is a woman who was posed as a peacenik all of her life. We all know that there was much more behind the story. The backstory of Pelosi is much bigger than the front story. We then heard Boehner, who we knew from day one, from the get-go, was owned like a shoeshine boy by this administration. Boehner should come out with a shoeshine kit tomorrow on his next appearance. We then played Dr. Strangelove, John McCain, another man who should get a shoeshine box and come out and polish Obama's other shoe, when he justifies not only bombing Syria, but widening the war in the Middle East. And then, to top it all off, when asked by someone about the Syrian Free Army, so-called, one of the top generals saying, Allahu Akbar, saying it's the same as saying, God bless America, or excuse me, God bless. How do you feel about all of this? Are you behind the bombing? I haven't even played the best, the money shot of the day. You haven't heard the money shot sounds that we got for the Savage Nation. We have stuff that no one's played yet. but I have to save it. I can't give it all to you in the first 9 minutes. If you care to join the conversation about your liberal president, your Peace Prize winner, your liberal, progressive, fraudulent rats in the Demon Cat Party going to war over nothing to do with America, you can call me at 855-407-282. It's the last word in talk radio. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Refuse to rule out sending troops into Syria as they tell the Senate that the world's dictators are listening for our silence. What a bunch of rotten cod. It's a family show, so I use phrases not from the Bronx. I've become Americanized over the last number of decades, so I use the words rotten cod when I don't really mean it. But rotten cod is actually very good. Kerry and Hagel are putting out rotten bacala to the world. They want to drag us into a shooting war, as do all of the other fraudulent progressives. Whenever you hear the word progressive, you better reach for your Glock. That's all I can tell you. If somebody tells you they're a progressive, I suggest you go home and check your Remington shotgun. Make sure it's oiled and loaded, because they'll be coming for you very soon. Kerry, a former protester who spoke to the same Senate committee in 1971 about the Vietnam War in very unfavorable terms, has nothing to say about war. In fact, he answered the Code Stinko. Apparently, Code Stinko finally popped up from the swamp at the hearing yelling that Americans don't want another war. And Code Stinko was answered by Kerry saying he once believed as they do. He said, this is not the time to be spectators to slaughter. Neither our country nor our conscience can afford the cost of silence. Very highfalutin words. Really, now how about the slaughter of Assad's military by the so-called Al-Qaeda rebels? How about the slaughter of the Christians that is going on in Egypt? I see that Kerry is silent about that. What do you think about all of this? What do you think is actually going on? What you're seeing, by the way, is the shadow on the wall. What you're seeing, look, the front story is that a Holocaust is occurring in Syria and we are the good Christians. We're going to save the poor, innocent children of Syria. That's the cover story they've come up with. Apparently, they went to Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Hollywood to write the script. And they came up with a wag the dog script for you to buy. Perhaps they'll have Dustin Hoffman acting in it and some of the other wonderful luminaries of Hollywood playing the role of war heroes. Well, I think Justin Hoffman could play a Syrian rebel, an aging Syrian rebel with a gray beard. They can wheel him out. He could play the opposition. This is not a laughing matter, but I have to try to make something out of this other than the depressing situation of a dictatorship that we're living in. We're living in a dictatorship. It's a one-party system ruled by foreign powers. We have no sovereignty left in this country. Witness our southern border with Mexico, which has been overrun and destroyed. Now, that's not bad enough. The same New World Order powers that have decimated our sovereignty want to use our Air Force in a war with Syria in which we have absolutely, as they say in America, no skin in the game and no national interest whatsoever. Yes, there are commercial interests. Yes, it's about two pipelines. Yes, it's about two competitive pipelines. And yes, it's a commercial war. And yes, it's simply using the American military and military hardware and military men as Hessians for natural gas interests. You say, well, that's not the first time it would have been done. No, it isn't the first time, but it's going on right in front of your eyes. I'm surprised you don't know about the competitive gas lines that are running through the area and who's fighting over this. So if you'd like to comment on this, I'm open for business on the Savage Nation. Frederick on WFTL in the nation's capital, welcome to the program.
Sir, all I want to say to you tonight is that this is World War III starts with one bomb from Obama and Israel together. And then they're going to keep going in this World War III. So what do you think? Do you think we're going to have another election in 3 years? Of course not. Obama gets to stay in office because we're at war. And then the whole world's at war. And can anybody, I would love to know, where's North Korea and South Korea in all this?
Well, North Korea is allegedly involved in supplying gas and weapons to Syria, as well as Iran. There's no question about that. But North and South Korea have little to do with this. What this is about two natural gas pipelines and two different companies fighting over the rights to run their pipeline through the area to Europe. There's trillions of dollars at stake, Frederick.
So
thank you for the call. Yep, that's the whole story. WABC James, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? James, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Oh, he's gone. That's good. Good call screening. Glenn on WABC, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, America is more like a Babylon in the Bible than any comparison to Rome.
Okay, that's like, it's a junior statement. I gave you a whole paragraph on Rome and the comparison to when the barbarians broke the empire in 2 in the 3rd century. So give me now a paragraph on Babylon.
Well, you are correct there. Rome is more of a juxtaposition of Babylon. Rome had a very long dominion, whereas Babylon had a 70-year dominion. Barack Obama is a juxtaposition of Constantine. He was the first to declare Christianity, whereas Barack Obama, being the 44th president, is the first to deny Christianity.
Okay, I hear you from the biblical point of view. I'm not sure I agree with you. But you have to understand that Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria were once at a crossroads in ancient history. And it led to 1,000 years of warfare between the once separated civilizations of Mesopotamia and the Nile. I want to repeat that. 1,000 years of warfare between the civilizations of Mesopotamia and the Nile. Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Those who know their history are condemned to the microphone. 855-407-282. It's the Savage Nation. What a sad day to see that we have a dictatorship.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-407-282. Savage.
What we are envisioning is something limited. It is something proportional. It will degrade Assad's capabilities. At the same time, we have a broader strategy that will allow us to upgrade the capabilities of the opposition, allow Syria ultimately to free itself from the kinds of terrible civil wars and death and activity that we've been seeing on the ground.
Yeah, how does it feel? How does it feel, all of you end-of-line hippies? How do all of you Democrat hippies get up in the morning and shave, if you still shave? How do you face yourself knowing that you're liars through and through? I can name some of you who I know personally who think that you're great First Amendment lawyers. You worked for Fidel Castro. You worked to overthrow some decent people in South America to put in Chavez. You claim you're a liberal, but you're not liberals. You actually are the fascists that you fought your whole life. Oh, yes, when Marcuse was read, you became a Marxist. When Sartre was read, you became a Leninist. You went through the entire progress, didn't you? Then you read Solzhenitsyn and you became a what? You didn't know what to become. But eventually most people emerged and realized that Sartre was wrong, Marcuse was wrong, that all of the icons of the 60s and 70s were nothing but fronts and founts for world communism. And then you found out what communism actually was, which was a fascism, pure and simple. Solzhenitsyn taught the world that in the Gulag Archipelago. But many of you did not change even when you read Solzhenitsyn. You're stuck as if you fell into an amber pit. You're still talking the talk of the 1960s. Here is a picture of an unidentified U.S. naval officer who opposes an attack on Syria with a sign in front of his face, which has been blacked out, which says, "I didn't join the Navy to fight for Al-Qaeda in a Syrian civil war." It's on prisonplanet.com. A naval officer, "I didn't join the Navy to fight for Al-Qaeda in a Syrian civil war." Now, you have to go back to the article I read to you last week. Many of you were on vacation, and you didn't hear about the article about the geopolitics of gas and the Syrian crisis. You didn't learn that the Syrian so-called opposition that Obama's in love with, Pelosi's in love with, McCain is in love with, Boehner is in love with, was armed by the United States to stop the construction of a gas pipeline running from Iran through Iraq through Syria. You didn't hear any of that. but there was apparently a big connection between the construction of a new Iran-Iraq-Syria gas pipeline that was supposedly going to stretch 1,500 kilometers from the largest gas field in the world in Iran to Damascus. And they're in competition, this pipeline is. This is now being dubbed the Islamic pipeline, which was supposed to start operation in 2014 to 2016. The Islamic pipeline is being opposed by the Qatar pipeline. I know it's an impossible word to pronounce. I'm sorry, the nation is called Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R. But apparently, Qatar is doing all it can to make sure its pipeline is built. And so they're arming the opposition fighters in Syria, many of whom come from Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and Libya. You didn't know that. Many of the very same so-called rebel forces from Libya, the extremists, and Pakistan, the Islamists, and Saudi Arabia, who have a commercial interest, want an opposing pipeline that runs from another place through other countries. And Israel benefits from the second pipeline. It's an uncomfortable statement. I was called Sunday on a day off by Aaron Klein of WABC News. ABC Radio, he has a Sunday show, and Aaron's very knowledgeable. And I went on the show to answer charges that I'm anti-Semitic because I dared say that I think Israel is pushing America towards war. Well, he got emails saying it's the same blood libel that America heard during World War II, that the Jews pushed America into the war. No, it's not the same at all. I don't know how you can link the two together. But I cringe when I hear people like that creature, that creature, Debbie Wasserman. Debbie Wasserman. I can't even pronounce her name. Wait. Debbie Wasserman Schulzman. I want you to listen to clip 15 from this creature. Listen to this one.
Well, I feel confident that our colleagues, my colleagues, both on the Republican side of the aisle as well as the Democratic side of the aisle, are not going to jeopardize the credibility of the United States. I feel confident that we will have a majority of the House of Representatives and the Senate who will understand and authorize the president to engage in a limited, targeted strike that ensures that our national security interests are protected, but also that we respond to atrocities and exercise the moral leadership has always led with.
Okay, now listen, here comes the money shot. In 16, your hair is going to stand up. Listen.
And for me, as a mother, you know, to see that searing image of babies lined up, murdered by their own government, innocent children. I mean, as a Jew, Wolf, I have to tell you, as a member of Congress who represents one of the largest Holocaust survivor populations in the country, to me the concept of never again has to mean something. And the United States, morally, cannot turn the other cheek. Too many leaders of ours have regretted that decision.
Well, then Debbie Wasserman Schulz should get one of her brothers or cousins to enlist in the military. Or Debbie Wasserman Schulz herself should enlist in the military, as should Nancy Pelosi. She has a son-in-law of military age, I understand, who married her daughter. Nice people. He ought to enlist in the military. I think that Kerry must have some relatives somewhere in the lineage who should enlist in the military. I think that the draft is a very important equalizer in the United States, and I believe it should be brought back so that Debbie Wasserman Schulz and Kerry and McCain, maybe McCain's daughter, can get off the talk show circuit and enlist as a WAC in the Navy. She's wacky enough to become a WAC. I don't even know if they still have the WACs, but she could join the Women's Air Corps in the Army. She's wacky enough for that. So the young McCain can enlist in the military. The young Kerry, there must be a young Kerry somewhere in the catch-up fortune, capitalizing on it, could take time out from a rave and enlist in the military. I mean, there's a whole slew of family members of Pelosi, McCain, Wasserman Schulz. They can all enlist in the military and join the Free Syrian Army and go fight the good fight. After all, they have such belief in it. Now, to use the Holocaust to push war has a double offense to me, by the way. We don't know who murdered the people of Syria. There are many people who believe that it was the very side we're about to bomb for that killed the children in Syria, but that's still a question that's outstanding. Don't tell that to Debbie Wasserman Schulz, who got up on her high horse and started screaming about the Holocaust and survivors and that she has to do something morally and we can't turn the other cheek. Easy to say when it's not your son that's going to go over there. It's not your daughter who's going to fly in those planes. It's not your family who's going to die for the country, Wasserman Schultz. It's Mrs. Smith's son who will die for the country, Wasserman Schultz. It's Mrs. Jones' son who will die for your cause, Wasserman Schultz, is what I'd like to say to that wonderful individual from Florida. How dare her say, as a Jew, she says that she feels that we have a moral obligation not to turn the other cheek. How dare she use the death of millions to peddle a pipeline to the world, is the way I see it. Now, you have your choice. You can call the show and argue with me. This is the Savage Nation. This is just the beginning. It's not the end. We have a group of war-crazy drug addicts running the world, not even running the country. I think most of them are drugged. If you listen to them, they're on medication. Almost every one of them is probably on a Prozac-like compound combined with alcohol and video games. McCain was seen this morning during a three-and-a-half-hour hearing. It was on the top of the Drudge Report, playing poker on an iPhone. We have no idea who's running this country. We do know that they broke the border with Mexico to permit a flood of 50 million to 70 million illegal aliens to flood into this country. Now that they're through breaking the sovereignty of America, they want to break the sovereignty of Syria. They've destroyed Libya. They've destroyed Egypt. What is next? Tell me what is next on their plate. What are they trying to achieve? They are like viruses destroying cell walls, cell membranes. I'll take your calls at the Savage, on the Savage Nation, 855-407-2822. WWIQ Marge in Philadelphia, go ahead, please.
I believe Syria is also a stepping stone to draw Iran into the war, because that would give Israel their excuse they've been looking for to bomb Iran to get rid of the nuclear weapons. And Obama would not mind one bit if Russia defended Iran and Syria and bombed our country, because that would give him the crisis that he wants so he can declare martial war and be dictator forever here.
Well, okay, that is a scenario many people are running in their mind, going all the way to a dictatorship in America, but we already have a putative dictatorship, as you can see by Boehner not standing up to him, as you can see by the entire Republican Party. Whatever happened to that guy, the Great Hope there from Virginia, who caved in as well? All of these guys who were supposedly stalwarts of the Tea Party are gone. Where did they go? What do they have on them? Are they injecting something into their food in the congressional dining room? What the hell is going on, Marge?
Well, as a Christian, I believe that there is something spiritual that's over Washington, D.C., so that people who have a good heart and they're Tea Party stalwarts go to Washington, and all of a sudden, Satan twists their mind.
Well, I don't think it's Satan. I mean, there was a movie done in the 40s called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington with Jimmy Stewart. It wasn't Satan involved. It was simply money and corruption. You don't have to bring Satan into it unless you want to say that corruption is Satan or say Satan-like. The fact of the matter is, it's unbelievable to me.
Yes,
Boehner backs Obama on Syria? Can you believe that you heard that this morning?
Right.
Yep. Can you believe it? KSFO, Wendy, San Francisco, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike?
Yes?
My comment is that I actually came across an article that dated back to September 28, 2012, from Leon Palente, stating that the Syrian rebels had hijacked or stolen chemical weapons from the Assad airport. Now,
I don't know who stole what. We don't even know who fired the chemical weapons with what rockets. They're saying we know Assad did it, but there's no rationale for Assad to have done though. He was winning the war. He had the rebels on the run. UN inspectors were on the ground. Why would he have shot chemical weapons at that time? There's no logical reason for it. It's a complete fiction. That's number one. But we have no idea who launched those chemical weapons. Were they launched from a country outside the borders of Syria? Is that possible?
Yes.
That's right. Who launched those chemical weapons? Who did it? Do we know for sure Assad did it? No. Do we know that the so-called Free Syrian Army did it? No. Well, who could have done it? There's an awful lot of players in that part of the world. Any one of them could have launched the weapons with a short-range missile. Isn't that correct? And then blamed it on Assad in order to get the world against him and have Debbie Wasserman Schultz and others come out and start screaming about the Holocaust as though it's the Holocaust all over again, which it is not. But let's not lose the forest for the trees. The gas pipelines may be the key to it all. You remember that I talked about last week?
Yes.
Okay. So you have the Islamic pipeline competing with the other pipeline. There's a Shiite pipeline versus a Sunni pipeline. The Islamic pipeline is one. But there's another issue going on here. Qatar is on the other side. They want the construction of the pipeline stopped because they discovered a major league gas-producing area near the Lebanese border, not far from the Mediterranean port of Tartus, which Russia leases, and the detection of a significant gas field near Homs. So what does that mean? That means you have two competing industrial powers, or corporate entities, rather, fighting to supply natural gas to Europe for the next century. Remember, Syria now has majorly gas reserves. And so the export of Syrian or Iranian gas to the European Union is what the fight is all about. The export of Syrian or Iranian natural gas may be what the fight is all about. You have to understand that it's more than what you are seeing. And if you want to read the article, I don't know if it's still up on my website. I found it last week. The Geopolitics of Gas and the Syrian Crisis. Syrian opposition armed to thwart construction of the Iran-Iraq-Syria gas pipeline. You'll say that's too far-fetched. We saw the pictures of the children. Well, we all saw the pictures of the victims, and no one is celebrating the destruction that was done to human beings. But the question is, who did it? And why are we going to war over an event that occurred in the past? As I said to you last week, the Holocaust argument doesn't hold water because this was a one-off shot. Whoever did it is not doing it again, are they? If it's Assad the Hitler of our time, why is he not doing it on a daily basis? If he did it every day, you'd say, well, then we have to stop him. But he only did it once, if he did it at all. So is that a reason now for us to kill other people? You got to kill for peace, is that it? Is that what the answer is now, you liberals, who are so confused from a lifetime of confusion that you now become the very thing you've hated all your life? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're talking about Obama and the neolibs dragging us into a Middle Eastern war. That's right, we heard the neocons dragged us into Iraq. Well, now it's the neolibs dragging us into a war in the Middle East, led by some of the craziest people I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't know how they are not in an asylum. Meanwhile, here's some news. Pro-Assad computer hackers today broke into the Marine Corps recruiting website, redirecting visitors to a screed that called President Barack Obama, quote, a traitor who wants to put your lives in danger to rescue al-Qaeda insurgents. The site marines.com was broken into and redirected to a message that said Obama is, quote, a traitor who wants to put your lives in danger to rescue al-Qaeda insurgents. As you know, there's a full court press of a fake congressional approval for war in Syria, in response to the alleged August chemical weapons attack on Syrian rebels who are trying to throw out Syrian President Bashar Assad from power and replace him with what? An Islamist nation? Is that what you want? Is that what Debbie Wasserman Schultz wants? Is that what McCain the poker face wants? Is that what John Kerry the anti-warmonger wants? What do they actually want? What is the end game here? What do these neolibs want is the question. And what is it that you want? 855-407-282 is the phone number. I'll take some calls. I have about 1 minute. Steve on WABC, fire away. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, how do you know that the United States isn't taking Israel into war?
Tell me what your thinking is.
My thinking is that you don't have any proof that somebody is taking somebody else into war. That's the whole thing. For example, you say the U.S. and Israel have had joint military exercises. How is that proof one side or the other is taking the other into war?
There's no proof whatsoever, but it's proof that Israel is deeply involved in what's going on in Syria. Why are they conducting joint exercises at this time, Steve? What are they trying to say? They're putting out a position of solidarity, U.S. and Israel, and solidarity with regard to their war power, correct? Okay, well, I'll take these calls on the other side of the show. It's...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
After a long day at work, there's nothing better than getting home, taking off your shoes, turning the lights down low, and settling into your favorite chair. It's time to let Hot Talk 560 KSFO melt your stress away.
When the hell are you going to wake up out there, you idiots? How much can you take from the vermin in the political structure and the scum in the media?
Michael Savage on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I love Obama, and you'll never find a truer Democrat than me. But this whole idea of any president of the United States drawing lines saying that if any country does something that he considers wrong, that the nation is going to war, it's unheard of, drawing red lines. So, of course, it's embarrassing. I wish it didn't happen. I guess Secretary Kerry is even more embarrassed than me after making his emotional speech that this was urgent. And clearly, as I said earlier, I couldn't see anything urgent about it. And I'm glad the president reviewed his thinking. And he is going to give us time to discuss it. During those discussions, I hope that other people in the international community would come forward and take this great decision off of the Congress, because we have to make it.
Right.
Take it off of the Congress and provide some solution where we are not putting our kids in harm's way to solve an international problem that we feel bounded, not by law, but because the president has drawn a red line.
Charlie Rangel, a true liberal. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I've always liked Charlie Rangel. You know, I grew up in New York where that type of politician I understood, old-style Democrat. Yeah, we know the games that are played. But here's Rangel using reality when he says, not put our kids in harm's way. You didn't hear that from Madam Pelosi, who had a conversation with her five-year-old grandson to push for war. You didn't hear that from the crazy McCain. You didn't hear Wasserman Schultz talking about our kids. All she talked about was the Holocaust, and as a Jew, we have a moral obligation to not turn the other cheek, because it's not her children who are going to fight in the war, is it? Somehow Rangel relates to the children who will fight in the war, our kids. And so here we are, Obama's handling of Syria embarrassing, according to a staunch Democrat, Representative Charlie Rangel. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. Phone number is 855-407-282. There's one open line. In Texas, on KLIF, Sean, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello, Mr. Savage.
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm really curious what's happening in Syria and in the past. Why is France more supportive over it than England is?
Well, it's very simple. France's leadership, the socialist leaders of France, are in very deep trouble for having wrecked the French economy. This is nothing but a ploy from the dwarf who runs France to take the French people's minds off his failures. as a leader and get him, get the French involved in a war. It's very similar to what Obama's doing. To get our minds off his crises and his failures, he's dragging us into a war to get our minds off his failures in plain English, same as in France. Does that answer your question in part, or does it not satisfy you at all?
Well, it's reminding me of Obama a little bit with this red line thing. It reminds me like a bunch of kids in the neighborhood. Don't cross that line, and he backs up. Don't cross that line, and he backs up. And then he turns around and tells them, well, you wait here while I go ask my buddies if I can give you a fat lip.
Yes, but people are going to die when the liberals drop their peacenik bombs, aren't they, Sean? I mean, let's talk about what bombing means, Nancy Pelosi and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Can anyone listening to this show say that no one's going to die from the U.S. bombs? We all know that's absurd. There will be deaths. There will be bloodshed. The blood will be on the hands of the American people who authorized this bombing of Syria, a civil war in which we have absolutely no stake whatsoever. And so people will die. And why France is joining us is quite clear, because the socialist cousin of Obama, Mr. Hollande, who took his high tax and spend mentality to the polls and got the lazy bums in France to vote for him, who wanted government handouts and 16-week vacations in New York and San Francisco on the government dole so they can go around and act sophisticated around the world and not work. Hollande's economics have been a disaster in France, and there's no better way to marshal public opinion in your favor than to scare people with a war. Then they usually back a leader. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. WABC Jim, you're next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I don't know if this is beyond the realm of possibility, but I've wondered about this. And could it be that the private banking cartel we know as the Federal Reserve, who's been working on debasing the dollar for 100 years, be pushing Obama to trigger this event, which could lead to World War III, and then act as smoke and mirrors to cover up what they've been doing to the dollar?
I have no idea. My mind doesn't work in those devious manner. In that devious manner. See, this is the problem with me as a talk show host, if you want to know the truth. I cannot think like a lawyer. I cannot think like a politician. I think like a human being who has a reasonably good mind and a fairly good education. I cannot think in a devious triple play against the people. I have no idea what they're doing. I will tell you this. The architect of all of this Arab Spring is George Soros. How does George Soros make his fortunes? You know how. He's a money trader. Is that correct? Are you still there or not?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so you know who George Soros is, correct?
Correct, yes, I sure do.
George Soros has made his fortune by shorting currencies, by betting against currencies. And if you can drive down the value of a currency having first gone short on the currency, you can make billions of dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it is possible that there are people trading currencies right now, knowing that war will drive the price of oil way up.
Right.
And what will it do to the dollar? What will war do to the value of the dollar? Drive it up or down?
Should drive it down.
The smart money, the manipulators, the evil ones in the world who trade money for a living, those who Jesus called the money traders in the back of the temple, are betting on currencies as we talk. They know what's going to happen to the drachma. They made fortunes. No one has studied this. Who made fortunes on the collapse of the Egyptian currency? With the overthrow of Mubarak, who had the inside information that Obama was about to destroy Mubarak? Well, just follow the money. Who made big trades the day before? Who made billions of dollars when the Egyptian currency collapsed after Mubarak was thrown out? Who made fortunes when Morsi was thrown out and the military came back into power? If you could ever get copies of these trades in currencies, you'll find out who's manipulating this country. Because as sure as I'm standing here, there are people right now betting against currencies in the Middle East and in the United States itself based upon inside information, knowing when the bombs will be dropped. They have probably been told to the second when the bombs will be falling from our airplanes. So there are many, many different chess games going on all at once. And you have to understand that the shell game that you're watching is not the real game. Again, I have to tell you, the Nancy Pelosi talking to her grandchild is one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my life. And to think that this woman has this much power is even more worrisome. Listen to clip number four now, Nancy Pelosi.
They've killed hundreds of children, and he said, 5 years old. Were these children in the United States? And I said, well, no, but they're children wherever they are. So I don't know what news he's listening to or where, who he's listening to, but even a five-year-old child has to, you know, with the wisdom of our interests, well, how does it affect our interests? Well, it affects our interests because it was, again, outside the circle of civilized behavior. It was humanity drew a line decades ago that I think if we ignore, we do so to the peril of many other people who could suffer.
Can anyone follow what this crazy woman just said? She started to launch into a diatribe like a children's story about talking to her grandchild who sounds 100 times more rational than she. The child says to her, I'm against war. He says, no, I'm against war. She's trying to say the child's brilliant, and then she says, but we have to go to war anyway. She contradicts her own fairy tale. This is one of the most powerful women on earth. Who in the hell is running America? The four horsewomen of the apocalypse. That's who's running America. Susan Rice. Yeah, you want to hear a few other names? Michelle Obama. You want to hear the names? You know the names, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse? Do you know who they are? Samantha Powers, Susan Rice, the woman from Chicago who's always in the back room. And then, of course, there's Michelle Obama. You can be certain, you can be absolutely certain this is a co-presidency. This is one man's opinion. The four horsewomen of the apocalypse are calling the shots. They are doing a full court press to convince America that if we don't drop the bombs and kill people, we are evil people indeed. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Barack Obama, intent upon dropping bombs on the Syrians for reasons no one can quite understand. I'll take some calls now on the Savage Nation. Kevin on WABC, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
You know, Savage, I thought over the last 30 years that effectively all the governments of the world had pretty much agreed that if anybody used a chemical weapon or a nuclear weapon, that the whole world was going to come down on them and punish them for doing that. I mean,
All right, let's start with that theory. So, who used the chemical weapons? Are you there? Who used the chemical weapons?
Who's using them? Assad is using them. There's no
How do you know that for sure? The UN hasn't determined that Assad used them. How do you? You have inside information?
Do you have information otherwise saying that?
Well, that's the whole point. None of us have the information, so don't you think we ought to try to find it through the UN inspectors before we go and possibly bomb the wrong side? Wouldn't you be embarrassed to find out afterwards that, in fact, Assad didn't do it? What if it turns out that it came from the other side? How would you feel then?
How about the Doctors Without Borders?
Well, that's interesting. The Doctors Without Borders said that it was not sarin gas. It may have been kitchen gas. And when they were treating the victims, they said they had no idea where it came from. I read the Doctors Without Borders report. They themselves, while treating the victims, said they did not know what the gas was nor where it came from. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, well, I'm aware of all these other things. But
well, no, you're not aware of it. You threw it in my face as though I didn't know the answer. I knew the answer. Now, how did you feel when Bill Clinton used gas in Waco, Texas? What did you feel then?
When Bill Clinton used gas in Waco, Texas.
Yeah, why are you repeating it? Yes. When your Democrat king, the former king of the Democrat Party, used gas on 75 innocent men, women, and children in Waco, Texas, when he gassed them to death using FBI and ATF goons to kill them, how come you didn't have an outcry saying the world had to do something? He killed his own people with gas. He was like Assad, but no one said anything, right?
First of all,
All right, that's the end of that story. All right. Go get your meds. It's the beginning of a new month. You should get a new supply in the mail any day now. Okay, Labor Day is over. The new supply should be in your mailbox by tomorrow morning. Yeah, I hear all of this outrage, this righteous indignation about the use of gas. We don't know who used it, but let's bomb anyway. It'll make us feel good. That's number one. Number two, I just ask this man and repeat it to one of your liberal cohorts tomorrow. Where were they when Janet Reno, on the direct orders of Bill Clinton, I think, who was the president? Was it Bill Clinton, actually? I don't know if it was Clinton. We know Janet Reno was the attorney general. When she killed with gas 70 men, women, and children and burnt them to death. First, they gassed them to death. Huh? It was Bill Clinton. He wasn't yet given a Nobel Peace Prize for killing the people at Waco, Texas, because they were Branch Davidian Christians, an offshoot and, you know, basically of no importance to anyone. But gas was used, if I'm not mistaken, it was CS gas or CF gas was used to kill the men, women, and children before our brave men in TAC uniforms and tanks burnt everyone to the ground. But it was gas that was used, nevertheless. You forgot about that. There were not calls to bomb anybody at that time. Russia didn't say we have to bomb for peace. Russia didn't say because of Waco, Texas, we have to go bomb Alabama, did he? Nick on WILK in Pennsylvania, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, pretty much my point here is the drug you were talking about is bottom line is money. And these people, they're not, it's, as your call screener would say, they were idiots. They're not idiots. They're more like mosquitoes, and they're all flying into the light.
My call screener said they're idiots? That's what he said to you?
I agree that, well, they are idiots, but the bottom...
I don't understand. He put those words in your mouth, or you put them in his head?
No. That's what was said. So the bottom line...
Well, thanks for the call. My call screener is not the show. He's only taking your calls. He's not to give you his editorial opinion. WABC, Andrew, you're on the Savage Nation.
I had a few quick points. Wasserman Schultz, she says never again, but what about when Saddam Hussein used gas? When Bush was in power, she didn't support the Iraq war, and never again, that means they keep saying no boots on the ground. Well, never again means only airstrikes that will never use boots, and you know what I mean? They're always saying...
Yeah, Wasserman Schultz is a liar. Wasserman Schultz is a hypocrite. Wasserman Schultz is an embarrassment to the Jewish people, in my estimation, for daring to use the Holocaust to justify this despicable bombing campaign.
And another way that it's different than the Holocaust, Hitler's army at the time was the most superior army on the planet, and it had to be defeated only by Allied forces building up our...
Well, we can't use the Holocaust. There's no direct model here. Again, I'll repeat it. Assad is not using gas on a daily basis to kill children. Hitler was using despicable means to kill Jewish children and others. Every day of the week, he had to be stopped. We don't even know if Assad did this. Doctors Without Borders, I read their report. They said they don't know whether it was sarin gas or if it was, quote, kitchen gas. They also said they don't know where the gas came from. I read the report, and they're as left-wing as they come. So let's not rush to judgment here. We're going to say the same things over and over and over all day today. KBET Las Vegas. Michael, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's very nice to speak to you. On a different day, I would tell you I love you like an uncle, but today is not a train tracks day.
No.
I believe.
By the way, as a side note, did you hear my show yesterday, all of the replays of my family stories? Wasn't that a beautiful show?
I enjoy when you do that all the time. I didn't get to hear a lot of it. I heard...
Oh, it was so good. I listened to it myself. I enjoyed it. I'm a great storyteller. Unfortunately, right now, I'm not telling you a story that's very pleasant. We have a mad puppet in the White House who is being forced to go to war by commercial interests, using humanitarianism as a front story. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
The military plan that has been developed by our Joint Chiefs and that I believe is appropriate is proportional, it is limited, it does not involve boots on the ground.
Bull crap.
This is not Iraq and this is not Afghanistan. This is a limited, proportional step. It will send a clear message not only to the Assad regime, but also to other countries that may be interested in testing some of these international norms.
You mean Like America, who tested this international norm under Bill Clinton by gassing 76 people at Waco, Texas in the spring of 1993. So there's Obama saying this is not Iraq, not Afghanistan. It's a proportional step. So what, he's going to kill 1,500 people to be proportional to the numbers that were allegedly gassed by Assad? What does he mean by proportional? They know they're going to kill 1,563 and a certain number of children on Assad's side? Is that what they mean by proportional? Do you have any idea how insane this all sounds to anyone who's rational? One point that I need to emphasize that has not been mentioned on radio today is that Obama and the other minions of Obama, Wasserman Schultz, and another, is that the rationale for the U.S. attack on Syria is to avenge or prevent civilian deaths by government gas attacks. But the U.S. government under Bill Clinton used similar weapons as recently as 1993 when the FBI ATF attacked the Branch Davidian compound near Waco, Texas in 1993. I know it's an uncomfortable thing to remember, but 76 American men, women, and children were killed in a military assault which used highly lethal military CS gas to kill the American men, women, and children. Did you know that? It's highly flammable. The people died unable to breathe. They were choking to death. The Davidians were then totally surrounded. They were not threatening to others. And then the ATF and FBI attacked with military-style firearms and with tanks. And then the war criminal, Attorney General Janet Reno, ordered an all-out military assault on the Branch Davidian compound. Even though there was no legal justification for it, she killed all of those people. People screamed there are innocent members inside that church. There was no planning for medical aid, no fire suppression. They were all burnt to the ground, and there was no international outcry. So don't tell me that this is the first time gas has been used since World War I. Okay? It's been used right in this country in Waco, Texas. 76 men, women, and children died under Bill Clinton. Did you know any of that, or you forgot about that? Let's take some calls. Brian on WMAL, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, a lot of us have been listening to you really closely because you've been giving perspectives we haven't heard yet. And last week you said something really interesting about how you think that Israel kind of a puppet master behind this, and they've been playing a lot of the role in ginning things up in Syria. And I'm really interested to hear you talk about that and talk about...
Well, I'll say it again. Israel is frightened that Iran will get the nuclear weapon if they already don't have one. Israel is frightened that Iran will launch 1,000 rockets with nerve gas in it and kill millions of Israelis. Israel is rightly frightened. Iran is run by insane mullahs who believe in the single sufficiency of the single book known as the Quran. They are lunatics who need to be stopped before they wipe Israel off the map. Having said that, I understand. First, yes, I said that about Iran. And yes, I will also say that Israel has a right to be afraid of Iran. And yes, I will now say that Israel's best game here would be to get an international coalition to do their fighting for them. Because if Israel were to take out Iran's nukes, Israel would be declared to be, every name under the sun. They're already hated in the world. Could you imagine what the Muslim world would say if Israel went and bombed Iran out of the blue to prevent their annihilation? They can't do it. That's why they haven't done it yet. They would have done it. They've been begging Obama either to let them do it or to join them in a coalition to do it. This is going on for 2 years now, or 3 years. So they maybe finally figured out a strategy. You've got a hot civil war in Syria that the American people wanted nothing to do with because we're still getting over the blood from Iraq and Iran. We're bankrupt as a result of those wars from Iraq and Afghanistan, excuse me. The American people are burnt out from war, just as America was burnt out from World War I and didn't want World War II, but were pushed into it when, and this is another controversial point, remember the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, and we were told it was a sneak attack? I've seen entire dissertations on the fact that FDR knew the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor and permitted it to happen in order to marshal public opinion against Japan and declare war on Japan and drag us into World War II. That was one suspicion that many people had about FDR. Now, If FDR could permit this attack to occur in order to drag the, marshal public opinion, drag us into war, why would you assume that this is not a similar scenario, that some entity gassed these men, women, and children, but we still don't know who? It could have been Assad's forces. It could have been Assad's brother. It could have been a renegade group within the Assad regime, a general who did it without Assad's knowledge. It could have been the Syrian rebels. It could have been Iran itself. How do we know? How do we know who did this? It could have been an accident. We don't know. And until we do know, we shouldn't go in. So having said all of that, Israel is rightly afraid of Iran. And there would be no better way to, no better time to stop Iran than right now. Because it may be too late to stop Iran 3 months from now. So they see a hot crisis, and Obama is, very happy to cooperate with them because he needs a war to get everyone's mind off his failures, economic scandals and failures. And there's no better way to get people behind the president to go into war and have men killed. Then suddenly we got the poppies and we got the people crying for the dead soldiers, as we should. And everybody forgets Benghazi, everybody forgets the IRS scandal, everybody forgets all of the other crimes and misdemeanors committed by this president and this administration, and they rally behind the president. Moreover, the weapons manufacturers who have been hungering for a new war to sell their wares, the K Street Boys, well, they'll reopen their offices in Washington. Think of the billions that are going to be made on bombs and munitions. Think of the airplane business. Think of the bomb business. It's good all around when you think about it. It's good for business. Then you have the pipeline issue. Does that answer your question? These are just thoughts. James on WMAL, you're next up. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yes. Israel is trying to get us to go to fight their war for them. How do we know they weren't the ones that put the gas in the bomb and sent it over there?
Well, I can't go there because I have no reason to even suspect that. But you could start suspecting that anyone could have done it. If you want to really, go there, you want to really get nuts, you could say we did it ourselves to marshal public opinion. Is that a possibility? Why not? You want to get crazy altogether? Why, you put it past warmongers who are dying to get people behind the war? They'll do anything. They'll kill 15 million people, let alone 15,000 people, let alone 1,500 people. Listen, war is not the answer. The only reason for international intervention is when our national interests are threatened and if we are attacked. Were we attacked here, that's the only justification for war.
Right. Revelation says everything that's going on right now, so if people read their Bible, Revelation, they'll know what's going on.
I don't have to read Revelations. I could just read the news and tell you what's going on right now. All of the liberals, all of the anti-war slime from the Vietnam era are now the warmongers. That's all you got to read right now is to see the hypocrites running everything. The frauds, the phonies, the shysters, the gonifs, the crooks, the criminals, the bombers, the killers who disguise themselves as anti-war activists are now running the world. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
But in the event, Syria, there was a threat of a chemical weapons cache falling into the hands of al-Nusra or someone else, and it was clearly in the interests of our allies and all of us, the British, the French, and others, to prevent those weapons of mass destruction falling into the hands of the worst elements, I don't want to take off the table an option that might or might not be available to a president of the United States to secure our country.
So that's John Kerry, the anti-war activist who attacked the American troops after the Vietnam War, now saying he wants boots on the ground. He wants the option, of sending American troops on the ground to fight this war. Oh, it's not their intention. Oh, they don't want it. But it's a possibility. He wants to cover his tracks so he's not impeached as a war criminal. He's telling you what might happen, which is that after we bomb Assad, the opposition, which are a bunch of murderous Islamists, will get their hands on the weapons of mass destruction. Then, of course, Obama will need a very, very calculated and proportional response to that. and that'll be Mrs. Jones' children going to war. It won't be Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz's children going to war. Again, I have to play what I think is one of the lowest blows of this entire discussion, which is the despicable Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz of Florida, who continues to impress me with her vileness. There's no other word for the vile mind of Debbie Wasserman Schultz using the Holocaust to justify bombing. Listen to 16.
And for me, as a mother, you know, to see that searing image of babies lined up, murdered by their own government.
We don't know who did it,
children,
Deb.
I mean, as a Jew, I have to tell you, as a member of Congress, one of the largest Holocaust survivor populations in the country.
Don't.
To me, the concept of never again
has
to mean something. And the United States, morally, cannot turn the other cheek.
Well, what if,
You mean Mrs. Jones' son should go to war for you, Wasserman Schultz, right? It doesn't mean you. It doesn't mean you or anyone in your immediate family going to war, because there's no draft and there's no skin in the game for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Of course, McCain also wants to go to war. And as you well know, he has a daughter who appears on television shows like a goofball, a chip off the old blockette. Maybe she ought to join the WACs, as I say. Because I don't know if they still have the WACs, but she's a certifiable WAC. Therefore she ought to join the WACs as a WAC-O and enlist in the military. Then, of course, you got John Kerry, as I said earlier. There must be someone within the ketchup kingdom who is of military age, and they can certainly put down the ecstasy pills and give up the raves for a few months and join the U.S. military to fight for old John's cause. Then, of course, there's Obama himself. He may have some relatives somewhere in his extended family who may be of military age, and they also can join the military and put down the basketball and go fight for the moral cause that Obama sees as so imperative to his, shall I say, record. By the way, what happened to the Arab Spring in Libya after Hillary Clinton killed Gaddafi? Do you remember what Gaddafi warned would happen? I do, because when it comes to international politics, I tend to forget very little. Gaddafi warned the West that they should not intervene on the side of the opposition. He was a bad guy, but we knew that he was rather stable and contained. And yet we took the side of the opposition exactly the way we're doing in Syria. Gaddafi warned the West, and I remember the speech to this day. He said, "You'll regret the day you took me out of power if you do so, because Libya will collapse and become a Somalia. You will have warlords running Libya, and the oil supply will diminish." Well, here's a special report that came out minutes ago from The Independent in England, entitled, "We all thought Libya had moved on. It has, but into lawlessness and ruin. Libya has plunged unnoticed into its worst political and economic crisis since the defeat of Gaddafi," we should add, by Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. 2 years ago, Gaddafi was killed. Hillary Clinton boasted and gloated over it. Her and Samantha Powers and the other four horsewomen of the apocalypse said, "We came, we saw, he died." Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Remember they said the NATO intervention against Gaddafi was justified as a humanitarian response to the threat that Gaddafi's tanks would slaughter dissidents in Benghazi? You forgot all of that. Well, it happened anyway. He was killed. He was not given a trial. And now we have warlords or local militias spreading anarchy around the capital of Libya. This is exactly what will happen in Syria. So, who is behind the destruction of Libya, the destruction of Egypt? The Egyptians, by the way, just threw them out and took back their country from those put in power by these four horsewomen of the apocalypse. They now want to do what they did to Libya and Egypt to Syria. Now, there is an endgame here that has been on my mind. I've been suspecting that Israel may be in cahoots with America for the very good reason that Israel has an existential threat coming from Iran, and they have to do something, and have to do it soon, or they may disappear from the planet. Okay, so that may be part of the shell game that's going on, and we don't know. But did you ever think that the four horsewomen of the apocalypse who have destroyed the sovereignty of Libya and Egypt and now Syria, at the end of the day, want to destroy the sovereignty of Israel itself? Did you ever think that they may outsmart Israel at their own game? Well, I'll tell you what's bothering me. the program that's being followed, rather the architectural plan that's being followed in the so-called Arab Spring, was created, funded by George Soros. It was created by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was Jimmy Carter's former NSA chief, the best I can figure it out. And then it was enacted by Obama. It's all spelled out in a whole chapter in Trickle Down Tyranny. But what I didn't get to is what I'm trying to tell you tonight in the Savage Nation. Soros hates Israel. The entire liberal cabal around Obama would like to see Israel not destroyed, but weakened, cut in two, a Palestinian state, so that he wins another Nobel Prize and the world is then safe for the New World Order. The last nut to crack in the Middle East is not Syria, it's Israel itself. And I would caution the Israelis who think that they're pulling Obama into a war, if that's what's going on, to be very careful indeed that he is not, in fact, pulling them into a situation from which they can never get out of, that will end up with Israel bifurcated into a two-state, into two states, and then Israel will no longer be a Jewish state. It will be disappeared altogether. In 100 years, it will disappear from the Middle East with the sands of time overtaking the great civilization that had been created in our lifetime. That's one man's nightmare scenario. I have no idea if I am correct or incorrect. Only time will tell. But I can assure you of one thing, those of you who have listened to me these 19 and some odd years, it's 19 and a half years, it'll be 20 years in radio this March 21st, 2014, God willing, I'll get to that point. Only God knows when he puts the lights out of anything, whether it be a radio show or a man's life. I will tell you this. What I just said to you has not been written anywhere. It's not been stated anywhere. At least I haven't seen it. I stumbled upon it in my own thinking today. And I pray to God, as we approach Rosh Hashanah on Wednesday night, the beginning of the 10 days of awe when Jewish people around the world celebrate a new year, and hope that they will be written into the book of life. I pray that Israel is written into the book of life, and that Israel has not finally met its chess master in the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. That's an entire piece that I just gave you, and I have no way to comment on my own comments. If I were in a lecture hall, I would say thank you and walk out now and go to the faculty lounge and take a break. I'd have a cup of coffee or a walk around the plaza, and I'd let the students talk about it in the graduate school. There are those in the media who call themselves professors, and that they run professorial. They give you basically checkers. I try to give you quadruple chess. And what I just gave you is food for thought, which is, at the end of the day, the best I can give you. All I can do is give you food for thought. I want to go back to my main fear, which is that the architects of the Arab Spring that broke the sovereignty of Libya, then Egypt, and now about to do it in Syria, at the end of the day, although they appear to be working with Israel and for Israel, their end game is to destroy Israel. They hate Israel. They hate the idea of a Jewish state. They want a two-state solution. And they'd like nothing better than a pretext to destroy the Jewish state.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
One nation where borders, language, and culture still matter. The Savage Nation. Weeknights at 6 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Wow. 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 Obama is at it again. But he's not alone. No, he's not alone. The four horsewomen of the apocalypse, that would include horse speaker John Boehner, horse member Nancy Pelosi. I mean, shall I go down the list? Shall we make jokes about war? Is it a laughing matter? It's U.S. and Israel, I told you so. They conduct a missile test as Obama seeks congressional support, like, you know what, seeks support, my eye. It's window dressing. It is window dressing. The Hessian army will be at it again. And by the way, the Syrian rebel leaders were Obama advisors, including rebels financed by the Saudis. Oh, look, it's beyond comprehension what's going on in the world to you, but not to me. I see it very clearly. It's a natural gas war between one faction and another. And McCain was caught playing poker during the war hearing. Yeah, that's right. And suddenly Teresa Hines Carey, Dr. Strangelove's wife, came out from hiding. And John Kerry, who accused U.S. troops of committing atrocities against civilians, is now at it again, wanting them to commit atrocities against civilians. Meanwhile, the top general cannot say what the USA seeks in Syria. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear this? ABC News, Washington Post poll, that's a left-wing poll, 60% oppose the war. That means it's 90%. Okay, that's 90%. It goes on and on and on and on. McCain says shouting Allahu Akbar is the same as Christians shouting thank God. I'm not making any of this up. I'm not making any of this up. It's incomprehensible to most of you, but not to me. So we have a Syrian war with a fake court jester named McCain and Boehner, two court jesters. Get them the jester hats. Yeah, it goes on and on and on. What else is on michaelsavage.com tonight? Of course, you're in hour number three of the Savage Nation. You made it. You're in hour number three of the Savage Nation for Tuesday. In the year of our Lord, 2013. Borders, language, and culture? I think not. You see, we're there to defend the borders of language and culture of us, the Islamists, the new caliphate. The caliphate has no borders. They have a language called Arabic, and they have a culture based upon the Quran. Can you name your borders, your language, and your culture? I don't think so. No, the barbarian invasion is complete. Throughout the 3rd century, the Roman Empire, decaying socially and disintegrating morally, faced the barbarians. The emperors of this period were fighting military autocrats, and the capital of the empire shifted with the necessities of their military policy. It was a declining city, Rome was. Over most of the empire, peace still prevailed, and men went about without arms. The armies continued to be the sole repositories of power. The emperors, depending on their legions, became more and more autocratic to the rest of the empire, and their state more and more like that of the Persian and other Oriental monarchs. Diocletian assumed a royal diadem and Oriental robes. Does that ring a bell with you, ladies and gentlemen? I just read to you the barbarians break the empire into east and west on the Savage Nation. And I read to you about a time when the Roman Empire started to crumble because it was being attacked by the barbarians, when the emperors became more and more autocratic and went to war at the whiff of a challenge to their power. How do you feel about all of this? Are you behind the bombing? Kerry and Hagel are putting out rotten bacala to the world. They want to drag us into a shooting war, as do all of the other fraudulent progressives. Whenever you hear the word progressive, you better reach for your Glock. That's all I can tell you. If somebody tells you they're a progressive, I suggest you go home and check your Remington shotgun. Make sure it's oiled and loaded, because they'll be coming for you very soon. Kerry, a former protester who spoke to the same Senate committee in 1971 about the Vietnam War in very unfavorable terms, has nothing to say about war. In fact, he answered the Code Stinko. Apparently, Code Stinko finally popped up from the swamp at the hearing yelling that Americans don't want another war. And Code Stinko was answered by Kerry, saying he once believed as they do. He said, this is not the time to be spectators to slaughter. Neither our country nor our conscience can afford the cost of silence. Very highfalutin words. Really, now how about the slaughter of Assad's military by the so-called Al-Qaeda rebels? How about the slaughter of the Christians that is going on in Egypt? I see that Kerry is silent about that. What do you think about all of this? What do you think is actually going on? What you're seeing, by the way, is the shadow on the wall. What you're seeing, look, the front story is that a Holocaust is occurring in Syria, and we are the good Christians. We're going to save the poor, innocent children of Syria. That's the cover story they've come up with. Apparently, they went to Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Hollywood to write the script, and they came up with a wag-the-dog script for you to buy. Perhaps they'll have Dustin Hoffman acting in it, and some of the other wonderful luminaries of Hollywood. playing the role of war heroes. Or, well, I think Justin Hoffman could play a Syrian rebel, an aging Syrian rebel with a gray beard. They can wheel him out. He could play the opposition. This is not a laughing matter, but I have to try to make something out of this other than the depressing situation of a dictatorship that we're living in. We're living in a dictatorship. It's a one-party system ruled by foreign powers. We have no sovereignty left in this country. Witness our southern border with Mexico, which has been overrun and destroyed. Now, that's not bad enough. The same New World Order powers that have decimated our sovereignty want to use our Air Force in a war with Syria in which we have absolutely, as they say in America, no skin in the game and no national interest whatsoever. Yes, there are commercial interests. Yes, it's about two pipelines. Yes, it's about two competitive pipelines. And yes, it's a commercial war. And yes, it's simply using the American military and military hardware and military men as Hessians for natural gas interests. You say, well, that's not the first time it would have been done. No, it isn't the first time, but it's going on right in front of your eyes. I'm surprised you don't know about the competitive gas lines that are running through the area and who's fighting over this. So if you'd like to comment on this, I'm open for business on the Savage Nation. Glenn on WABC, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, America is more like a Babylon in the Bible than any comparison to Rome.
Okay, that's like, it's a junior statement. I gave you a whole paragraph on Rome and the comparison to when the barbarians broke the empire in two in the third century. So give me now a paragraph on Babylon.
Well, you are correct there. Rome is more of a juxtaposition of Babylon. Rome had a very long dominion, whereas Babylon had a 70-year dominion. Barack Obama is a juxtaposition of Constantine. He was the first to declare Christianity, whereas Barack Obama, being the 44th president, it's the first to deny him, to deny Christianity.
Okay, I hear you from the biblical point of view. I'm not sure I agree with you. But you have to understand that Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria were once at a crossroads in ancient history. And it led to 1,000 years of warfare between the once separated civilizations of Mesopotamia and the Nile. You can call me at 855-407-2822. It's the last word in talk radio. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is something proportional. It will degrade Assad's capabilities. At the same time, we have a broader strategy that will allow us to upgrade the capabilities of the opposition, allow Syria ultimately to free itself from the kinds of terrible civil wars and death and activity that we've been seeing on the ground.
Yeah, how does it feel? How does it feel, all of you end-of-line hippies? How do all of you Democrat hippies get up in the morning and shave, if you still shave? How do you face yourself knowing that you're liars through and through? I can name some of you who I know personally, who think that you're great First Amendment lawyers, you worked for Fidel Castro, you worked to overthrow some decent people in South America to put in Chavez, you claim you're a liberal, but you're not liberals. You actually are the fascists that you fought your whole life. Oh yes, when Marcuse was red, you became a Marxist. When Sartre was red, you became a Leninist. You went through the entire progress, didn't you? Then you read Solzhenitsyn and you became a what? You didn't know what to become. But eventually most people emerged and realized that Sartre was wrong, Marcuse was wrong, that all of the icons of the 60s and 70s were nothing but fronts and founts for world communism. And then you found out what communism actually was, which was a fascistic fascism, pure and simple. Solzhenitsyn taught the world that in the Gulag Archipelago. But many of you did not change even when you read Solzhenitsyn. You're stuck as if you fell into an amber pit. You're still talking the talk of the 1960s. Here is a picture of an unidentified U.S. naval officer who opposes an attack on Syria with a sign in front of his face, which has been blacked out, which says, "I didn't join the Navy to fight for Al-Qaeda in a Syrian civil war." It's on PrisonPlanet.com. a naval officer. I didn't join the Navy to fight for Al-Qaeda in a Syrian civil war. Now, you have to go back to the article I read to you last week. Many of you were on vacation, and you didn't hear about the article about the geopolitics of gas and the Syrian crisis. You didn't learn that the Syrian so-called opposition that Obama's in love with, Pelosi's in love with, McCain is in love with, Boehner is in love with, was armed by the United States to stop the construction of a gas pipeline running from Iran through Iraq through Syria. You didn't hear any of that. But there was apparently a big connection between the construction of a new Iran-Iraq-Syria gas pipeline that was supposedly going to stretch 1,500 kilometers from the largest gas field in the world in Iran to Damascus. And they're in competition, this pipeline is. This is now being dubbed the Islamic pipeline, which was supposed to start operation in 2014 to 2016. The Islamic pipeline is being opposed by the Qatar pipeline. I know it's an impossible word to pronounce. I'm sorry the nation is called Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R. But apparently Qatar is doing all it can to make sure its pipeline is built. And so they're arming the opposition fighters in Syria, many of whom come from Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and Libya. You didn't know that. Many of the very same so-called rebel forces from Libya, the extremists, and Pakistan, the Islamists, and Saudi Arabia, who have a commercial interest, want an opposing pipeline that runs from another place through other countries. And Israel benefits from the second pipeline. It's an uncomfortable statement. I was called Sunday on a day off by Aaron Klein of WABC Radio. He has a Sunday show, and Aaron's very knowledgeable. And I went on the show to answer charges that I'm anti-Semitic because I dared say that I think Israel is pushing America towards war. Well, he got emails saying it's the same blood libel that America heard during World War II that the Jews pushed America into the war. No, it's not the same at all. I don't know how you can link the two together. But I cringe when I hear people like that creature, that creature, Debbie Wasserman. I can't even pronounce her name. Wait. Debbie Wasserman Schulzman. I want you to listen to clip 15 from this creature. Listen to this one.
Well, I feel confident that our colleagues, my colleagues, both on the Republican side of the aisle as well as the Democratic side of the aisle, are not going to jeopardize the credibility of the United States. I feel confident that we will have a majority of the House of Representatives and the Senate who will understand and authorize the president to engage in a limited, targeted strike that ensures that our national security interests are protected, but also that we respond to atrocities and exercise the moral leadership.
Here we go. Get out the violins.
Has always led with.
Okay, now listen, here comes the money shot. In 16, your hair's going to stand up. Listen.
And for me, as a mother, you know, to see that searing image of babies lined up, murdered by their own government, innocent children. I mean, as a Jew, Wolf, I have to tell you, as a member of Congress who represents one of the largest Holocaust survivor populations in the country, to me the concept of never again has to mean something. And the United States, morally, cannot turn the other cheek.
Too many leaders of ours
have regretted that decision.
Well, then Debbie Wasserman Schulz should get one of her brothers or cousins to enlist in the military. Or Debbie Wasserman Schulz herself should enlist in the military. As should Nancy Pelosi. She has a son-in-law of military age, I understand, who married her daughter. Nice people. He ought to enlist in the military. I think that Kerry must have some relatives somewhere in the lineage who should enlist in the military. I think that the draft is a very important equalizer in the United States, and I believe it should be brought back so that Debbie Wasserman Schulz and Kerry and McCain, maybe McCain's daughter, can get off the talk show circuit and enlist as a WAC in the Navy. She's wacky enough to become a WAC. I don't even know if they still have the WACs, but she could join the woman's Air Corps in the Army. She's wacky enough for that. So the young McCain could enlist in the military. The young Kerry, there must be a young Kerry somewhere in the catch-up fortune, capitalizing on it, could take time out from a rave and enlist in the military. I mean, there's a whole slew of family members of Pelosi, McCain, Wasserman Schulz. They can all enlist in the military and join the Free Syrian Army and go fight the good fight. After all, they have such belief in it. Now, to use the Holocaust to push war has a double offense to me, by the way. We don't know who murdered the people of Syria. There are many people who believe that it was the very side we're about to bomb for that killed the children in Syria. But that's still a question that's outstanding. Don't tell that to Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who got up on her high horse and started screaming about the Holocaust and survivors, and that she has to do something morally, and we can't turn the other cheek. Easy to say when it's not your son that's going to go over there. It's not your daughter who's going to fly in those planes. It's not your family who's going to die for the country, Wasserman Schultz. It's Mrs. Smith's son who will die for the country, Wasserman Schultz. It's Mrs. Jones' son who will die for your cause, Wasserman Schultz, is what I'd like to say to that wonderful individual from Florida. How dare her say, as a Jew, she says that she feels that we have a moral obligation not to turn the other cheek. How dare she use the death of millions to peddle a pipeline to the world.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, welcome back to the Savage Nation. I want to play some sound for you now of the interview that I did with Aaron Klein on his radio show this Sunday on WABC. I was on, you know, I was off like everybody, and because of the war drums being beat, Aaron called me and I did this interview.
So I sent a quick email to Michael Savage. He joins me live right now, national radio host, rock star, Michael Savage. Welcome to Aaron Klein Investigative Radio.
Well, I never do weekend shows, Aaron, but for you?
Yeah, don't you have a life? Don't you take off?
No, not really. I'll tell you the truth. My mind has been on the wheel. Who's running our ship?
Yeah.
Who was it who got up and told them to pause? Was it Valerie Jarrett? I mean, what is this guy, out of control or what? Who told him that if he went ahead with the war, he'd be indicted as a war criminal and he'd be impeached? I don't think they go through with it. But there would be impeachment cries. There'd be a lot of exposure for him. The man was out of control. The wise elders of the tribe came down and said, are you out of your mind? You can't do this.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, this guy does not care about the Congress. He does not care about the Constitution. Something that happened behind the scenes. I don't buy this story for a minute that ABC News is putting out, that he went on some walk with Dennis McDonough, his chief of staff. Things were said. Yeah.
Turn him into some thoughtful, deep-thinking statesman?
Yeah, a deep-thinking statesman who has no idea what he's getting us into in Syria, has absolutely no idea, by the way that this will haunt him after he actually launches this war, a good times infinity, with regard to what happened to President Bush, would be the information that this was not Syria that was behind the chemical weapons attack. And this is going to come out. Russia has this. China has this. They know who was really behind it. They're going to humiliate him.
But Aaron, even if it was Syria, there's no reason to say it isn't Syria for sure.
Right.
I mean, he's a pretty crazy guy, Assad. His father gassed 10,000 people at Hamas, remember?
Yeah. In Homs.
15,000 of his own people. The father and he are both peas in a pod. He's crazy, but that's not the point. Look, Aaron, I've got to say this because I've said it on my show four times last week on my, WABC and 200 other stations every night at 9 in New York. Unfortunately, I was preempted Friday night for a football game, and many people wanted to hear what I had to say because it was on the brink of war. There's a couple of things to remember, Aaron. Many people are sensitive to the Holocaust history, and that's an important thing. But it's a fraudulent analysis. It's a false analysis to say this is the Holocaust, and shouldn't we have bombed the railway line? Shouldn't we bomb, you know what I'm saying, to stop the Holocaust? It's not the same analogy for two reasons. First of all, the death camps were existent. There were hundreds of thousands of people in there at any time. The railway lines were still bringing Jews and others into the camps. Of course there was a valid reason to bomb the railroad lines and to interrupt the Holocaust production line, okay? But this is not the same thing for two reasons. One, even if Assad did launch the gas attack, it's not something he's doing on a daily basis, on an ongoing basis. So the idea that you're going to interrupt it for a humanitarian, on a humanitarian basis, because it's like the Holocaust, is fraudulent.
Right. And by the way, speaking of the Holocaust here, what's even more ridiculous is that the very doctrine that we would use, which would be responsibility to protect, was written in part by a Holocaust denier. It was written by Hanan Ashrawi, the deputy to Yasser Arafat, which begs questions about what this was really about.
Oh, you mean a good friend of Samantha Power?
Yeah, not yet. Samantha Power, get this, along with Desmond Tutu and Mary Robinson, who've gone on solidarity visits to Hamas and Hezbollah, along with Hanan Ashrawi, the Holocaust-denying deputy to the godfather of modern-day terrorism, Yasser Arafat, they wrote the doctrine we would use in Syria. So,
amazing, Aaron. Your research is impeccable.
This is amazing. We're speaking with Michael Savage, who can be heard here, obviously, every single weeknight, starting at 9 p.m. on 77 WABC. So I'll let you go, because I know you're in a vacation. But one last question.
Aaron, you can't let me go for one reason. You got me on the air for one. You said people are emailing you about something I said. I have to clear the
air. Yeah, all right. That's what I was going to ask about. Let's clear the air here. A lot of people are calling up. I've got several phone calls here just randomly calling this show saying that you were accusing Israel of wagging the dog here with the United States. So, yeah, let's what did you say about that?
I said exactly that.
Okay.
I believe it's true. I believe the evidence points to the fact that Israel was looking to have Big Brother do her bidding. And I think that it backfired on Israel. And I think that the whole thing about Obama hating Israel is a ruse, to be honest with you. I think it's a classic game of play one side against the other, and then play both sides against the middle. But as far as that goes, where did I get my evidence from? It's one man analyzing what I read. And when I see that the day after Obama decided to pause, not yet, not Saturday, but during the week, Thursday,
mm-hmm.
The Times of Israel, the lead editorial was calling him every name under the sun, saying now Israel has to go it alone.
Oh, that's David Horowitz, who nobody pays attention to. Actually, nobody even has, nobody sees that website other than when Matt Raj links to it. Nobody's ever heard of it in Israel, by the way.
All right, so let's go to the next thing. Israel fears Syria's air force. Is that
right.
Correct or incorrect?
There's the missiles, largely, that they fear, these Syrian missiles that can be fired hundreds per hour into the Jewish state, unquestionably, yes.
But don't they also fear the Syrian pilots? In the last war, they were formidable as an opponent, and the Syrian Air Force are the teeth of the Syrian military. I think Israel liked to have those teeth pulled out so that it becomes a paper tiger. They'd certainly rather face Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, and a few of the other ragtag elements in the opposition because they have no heavy weapons. That was my analysis. So
yeah.
Israel figured this is a good time to force Obama's hand and make him take out Assad's Air Force. But by the time it was even talked about being done, I'm sure the airplanes were either in Iran or in underground caves, and they were impervious to attack.
Yeah, Russia's not stupid. China's not stupid. Of course, they're advising the Syrian president with what to do with his aircraft. Now, the thing is that about your information on Israel, I have a lot of information separately, and your analysis could be good. I have no idea. I just have separate information that we also have to look here at Turkey. At Obama's good friend Erdogan, who's been agitating this for a long time.
Yeah, he wants a larger war. I understand that.
Yeah.
But you also saw the big article that it's all about natural gas pipelines
exactly.
In competition with each other. Didn't you see the article, the geopolitics of gas and the Syrian crisis?
I actually wrote an article.
Armed to thwart construction of the Iran-Iraq-Syria gas pipeline. It was an amazing article that is worth reading. I had linked it on michaelsavage.com. But there were two competing routes for the gas pipeline to Europe, Aaron. And this may be a repeat of history where Bill Clinton went and bombed Serbia, broke up every bridge on the Danube River under the guise of humanitarianism when it was all about the oily tracks running through Kosovo, which was then stolen from the Serbs, even though Kosovo had been part of Serbia since the 1300s. Same thing all over again. It's a damn pipeline again.
That's right, that's right. We have to look at what's known as the Nabucco pipeline, which is the pipeline that Turkey wants to build, that Israel will, by the way, be involved in.
Bingo.
Yeah, yeah, but that the United States also involved in. And then separately, the Islamic pipeline, which is Iran, which is Syria, which is Russia. By the way, Michael.
What else is new? It's always about money.
It's always about money.
It's always about power and money, nothing else. And then they mask it in humanitarianism.
Yeah, well, guess what, Michael? Guess what? I have information that the Russians are actually using what Obama has been doing. So in other words, actually, the threats from Obama may have played into the hands of Russia, and so now Russia has its grimy hands on the natural gas and the oil interests. And so this is very accurate analysis. Michael Savage of the Savage Nation, every weekday here after 9 p.m., thank you for coming in on this Labor Day weekend. Have fun with Teddy there.
Welcome back to New York City and WABC, Eric.
Oh, by the way, I was going to email you, so since I'm on, I might as well tell you I'm planning to come to San Francisco, to the San Francisco area, in about 2 weeks, so I hope to get to see you there. Let's go to dinner.
I'll take it to some non-kosher Italian food.
With bacon on top.
No bacon, just pancetta.
Tofu bacon.
All right, Aaron, great speaking with you.
All right, thank you very much.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, sure. I don't want to respond without having you respond directly. So thank you again, Michael Savage, for being here.
That was from WABC Radio, the Aaron Klein Show, this last Sunday. This is Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We see that we have what I've been predicting exists. A one-party system with two-card Monty. A one-party system playing two-card Monty with Boehner saying, I'm going to support the president's call for action in Syria, with Pelosi sounding like a lunatic just out of a madhouse, quoting a conversation with her five-year-old grandson to justify a war with Syria, to no opposition whatsoever from the alleged opposition party. And now I ask you how you feel about clip number one. Please play number one. Thank you very much.
The use of these weapons have to be responded to, and only the United States has the capability and the capacity to stop Assad and to warn others around the world that this type of behavior is not going to be tolerated. I appreciate the President reaching out to me and my colleagues in the Congress over the last couple of weeks. I also appreciate the President asking the Congress to support him in this action.
You know, I really think Boehner is a great statesman when you think about it, because he appreciates that the President actually talked to him. I want you to understand what a great country you have now. You have the leader of the so-called opposition party who appreciates the fact that the President even talked to him and asked his opinion. I think that's wonderful. Look, I can ask you a simple question. You just heard John Boehner giving you Democrat talking points. How do you feel about Boehner mimicking Obama's justifications for war? How do you feel about the fraudulent liberals in your family who are talking about going to war when all their lives they told you you were the warmonger? How do you feel about what you're about to hear next in the Savage Nation, which is something that would be actionable? In other words, in another time, Pelosi would be taken out by men in white coats with straitjackets. I want you to listen to one of the most powerful women in the world in clip three.
I'll tell you this story, and then I really do have to go. My five-year-old grandson, as I was leaving San Francisco yesterday, he said to me, Mimi, my name, Mimi, war with Syria. Are you yes, war with Syria? No, war with Syria. Now, he's 5 years old. And war, he's saying war. I mean, we're not talking about war. We're talking about an action. Mm-hmm. Yes, war with Syria, no war with Syria. I said, well, what do you think? He said, I think no war. I said, well, I generally agree with that, but you know they've killed hundreds of children there.
I wonder how Madam Pelosi felt when her party, her grand old party, the Democrats, killed 72 children, men and women, at Waco, Texas. Remember when the children were gassed at Waco, Texas by the FBI and the ATF? I wonder how Madam Pelosi felt about her government gassing children at Waco, Texas. Now, of course, they were Christian children, and of course, they were basically white trash Christian children. They weren't of the type that go to the nun churches in San Francisco, which are just show churches, as you know, for the people who live on Pacific Heights. But how do you feel about Nancy Pelosi quoting a conversation with her five-year-old grandson as a justification for going to war? Now, I also told you last week I was slammed for implicating Israel in all of this. I've been called a lot of names by the knee-jerk liberals out there in radio land. And I was called an anti-Semite last week, which is a new one, actually. But I'm used to it because I've been called many other things. But I believe that the actions of today confirmed my suspicion. When I woke up this morning and I saw that Israel and the United States were in joint naval exercises, in the Mediterranean. On the top right of michaelsavage.com, U.S. and Israel, I told you so. They conducted a missile test as Obama seeks congressional support for a Syria strike. I want to be very clear. I support the nation of Israel. I support Israel's sovereignty. I'll give you the litmus test. But I don't support us being Hessians for any nation, including Israel. I deeply resent Israel dragging us into a Middle Eastern conflagration. I am sick to my stomach to see the Holocaust being used as a justification for killing people with United States bombs. And I will tell you something else on this show. If you think this is going to be a limited strike, if you're going to buy the crap that you're hearing from Hashburger and the others in the media, if you're going to believe one word that Hashburger is telling you, that this is going to be a limited strike, if you believe that Hashburger is right when he dismisses Obama and says that Obama is going to launch a few missiles for a few hours and go away, then you are completely naive. This is going to be much bigger than that. I promise you that Kerry, who is one of the most dangerous men in the history of this government, and I can guarantee you that the four horsewomen of the apocalypse have already planned to send U.S. troops into Syria in order to kill Assad the way they killed Saddam and the way they killed Gaddafi, and to divide Syria and steal the land and make it safe for democracy. I can guarantee you the same mentality that brought down Gaddafi and brought down Mubarak will bring down Assad. They have not learned their lesson. I can guarantee you they don't know what the hell they're doing, but they're extremely dangerous because they're working for forces outside this country, in my opinion. Now, you have your choice. You can call the show and argue with me. This is the Savage Nation. We have a group of war-crazy drug addicts running the world, not even running the country. I think most of them are drugged. If you listen to them, they're on medication. Almost every one of them is probably on a Prozac-like compound combined with alcohol and video games. McCain was seen this morning during a three-and-a-half-hour hearing. It was on top of the Drudge Report, playing poker on an iPhone. We have no idea who's running this country. We do know that they broke the border with Mexico to permit a flood of 50 million to 70 million illegal aliens to flood into this country. Now that they're through breaking the sovereignty of America, they want to break the sovereignty of Syria. They've destroyed Libya. They've destroyed Egypt. What is next? Tell me what is next on their plate. What are they trying to achieve? They are like viruses destroying cell walls, cell membranes. As you know, there's a full court press of a fake congressional approval for war in Syria in response to the alleged August chemical weapons attack on Syrian rebels who are trying to throw out Syrian President Bashar Assad from power and replace him with what? An Islamist nation? Is that what you want? Is that what Debbie Wasserman Schultz wants? Is that what McCain the poker face wants? Is that what John Kerry the anti-warmonger wants? What do they actually want? What is the end game here? What do these neolibs want is the question. And what is it that you want? 855-407-282 is the phone number. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation in Texas on KLIF. Sean, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm really curious what's happening in Syria and in the past. Why is France more supportive over it than England is?
Well, it's very simple. France's leadership, the socialist leaders of France, are in very deep trouble for having wrecked the French economy. This is nothing but a ploy from the dwarf who runs France to take the French people's minds off his failures as a leader and get the French involved in a war. It's very similar to what Obama's doing. To get our minds off his crises and his failures, he's dragging us into a war to drag us into a war to get our minds off his failures, in plain English. Same as in France.
Hmm.
Does that answer your question in part, or does it not satisfy you at all?
Well, it's reminding me of Obama a little bit with this red line thing. It reminds me like a bunch of kids in the neighborhood. Don't cross that line, he backs up. Don't cross that line, he backs up. And then he turns around and tells them, well, you wait here while I go ask my buddies if I can give you a fat lip.
Yes, but people are going to die when the liberals drop their peacenik bombs, aren't they, Sean? I mean, let's talk about what bombing means, Nancy Pelosi and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Can anyone listening to this show say that no one's going to die from the U.S. bombs? We all know that's absurd. There will be deaths. There will be bloodshed. The blood will be on the hands of the American people who authorized this bombing of Syria, a civil war in which we have absolutely no stake whatsoever. And so people will die. And why France is joining us is quite clear, because the socialist cousin of Obama, Mr. Hollande, who took his high tax and spend mentality to the polls and got the lazy bums in France to vote for him, who wanted government handouts and 16-week vacations in New York and San Francisco on the government dole so they can go around and act sophisticated around the world and not work. Hollande's economics have been a disaster in France. And there's no better way to marshal public opinion in your favor than to scare people with a war. Then they usually back a leader. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. So there are many, many different chess games going on all at once. And you have to understand that the shell game that you're watching is not the real game. Savage.